The Symmetrical Family, Young and Wilmot. Michael Young and Peter Wilmot had a different, although still functional, account to explain changes in family structures. In the book The Symmetrical Family, 1973, the two sociologists examine this development of the family from pre-industrial period to 1970s as occurring through four distinct stages. Stage 1, the pre-industrial family. The family is a unit of production, with all family members working as a team in order for the family to survive. They agree with the idea the family was superseded by the Industrial Revolution. This type of family hasn't disappeared, as some farming families still work this way. Stage 2, the early industrial family, was an outcome of the Industrial Revolution, developing from the early 19th century, running through its peak in the early 20th century. As family members increasingly became employed in factories and the sight of the family as a unit production faded. The difficulty for families was factory wages were very low, which made worse by significant periods of prolonged unemployment. According to Young and Wilmot, this encouraged families to create insurance by inviting relatives beyond the nuclear family into its network. This proliferation of network ties was a distinct feature of Stage 2 family. It weakened the conjugal bond in favor of greater ties between mother and married daughter to create an organized and informal network between women, which excluded men. Young and Wilmot's study found men had been eased out of the female circle to find comfort in the pub. This gulf between male and female roles was evident in the distinct division of labor between husbands and wives in the household. Segregated conjugal roles meant men had very little involvement in domestic chores, raising the children, and leisure activities. These family networks started to decline in the early 20th century, but were still found in many low-income, established working-class areas. Young and Wilmot's evidence comes from their Bethnal Green study, mid-1950s, which uncovered how children usually remain within 2 to 3 miles of their family home. Stage 3, the symmetrical family, sometimes known as the privatized nuclear family. Young and Wilmot's book, The Symmetrical Family, was based on 1970s large-scale social research they conducted in Greater London, which uncovered the demise of the Stage 2 family in favor of the Stage 3 family. This shift was particularly profound within the working classes. The term symmetry refers to how the family is an arrangement of opposite parts of the sense of how each adult's contributions are similar in the running of the household through joint conjugal roles. The symmetry comes from there being men's work and women's work, sharing decisions, chores, but most importantly, the roles are not interchangeable. The Stage 3 family differs in two clear ways from Stage 2. First, the nuclear family makes a distinct separation between itself and the extended family. Secondly, the extent to which so much Stage 3 nuclear family is based around the home, particularly when children are young, with free time being devoted to chores and odd jobs. Leisure time is mainly home-based with increased TV usage. Strong conjugal bonds. Husband and wife relationships are about companionship by sharing experiences in and outside the home. Young and Wilmot identified four reasons for why the shift from Stage 2 to Stage 3 family structure occurred. Financial. The expansion of welfare state support through family allowances, unemployment benefit, old age pensions reduced the need for kinship networks. Increase in real terms of male breadwinner wages reduced unemployment rates. Mobility. Increased geographical mobility as younger couples with children move further afield to new council housing estates. Smaller families. 1970s saw a reduction in the number of children in families from an average of 6 per family to just 2. A smaller number of dependent children gave wives a greater opportunity to work. The increased symmetry within the family as 2 wage earners could contribute to family finances. Improved living standards. As homes improved, husbands felt happier to stay at home. Improved home-based leisure activities. Improved home comforts which husbands could improve on. DIY. Young and Wilmot have found their home-centered symmetrical family was far more evident in the working class than in the middle class. This is because working class work tends to be tedious, therefore more time and attention is given to the family. Stage 4, the future. Young and Wilmot predicted the rise of Stage 4 family using their principle of stratified diffusion theory. Lifestyles of those who are at the top of the social ladder are gradually adopted by those at the bottom. Studying the family life of 190 managed directors, they concluded that in the future, families in other social classes will adopt their family lifestyle. This implies that the fourth stage will be characterized by work-centered individuals, leisure time spent outside the home, and wives looking after the home and children. Do we live in a period of joint, integrated, or segregated conjugal roles? At this point, it's worth remembering segregated conjugal roles show a clear division and division between males and female roles, while joint integrated conjugal roles show few divisions between male and female partner roles. It's actually possible to have joint conjugal roles if a patriarchal power is still pervasive. With these questions in mind, to what extent is housework an anachronism or a true representation of contemporary family life? Young and Wilmot declared in 1973 that the symmetrical family was here. The symmetrical family identified married couples as having joint conjugal roles. This meant that in the home, the couple shared their work and the time around the home. The feminist Anne Oakley challenged Young and Wilmot's concept of the symmetrical family. This was because Young and Wilmot's evidence for their symmetrical family came from their research, which found 72% of men helped around the house in 1974. However, Oakley's challenge to Young and Wilmot was that a figure came of 72% came from male respondents only having to answer one dedicated question on housework in their research questionnaire. This meant the figure of 72% was achieved even if the male respondents only did one housework task a week. Oakley's own research in 1974 found both middle and working class families had greater equality in the designation of domestic duties, but in both classes, few men actually did any housework, which remains an issue for many commentators today, especially as it varies across different countries. Current research has shown women still become mothers and housewives, experience a period of full-time work until they have children, return to part-time work once their youngest child is at school. Housework and childcare remains a woman's responsibility, known as the dual burden. Indeed, even though an increasing number of women work at some point in their lives with men helping to do more domestic chores, Allen and Crowe, 2001, found men's contribution around the house is limited, with women having to work full-time and then do the housework. Supporting evidence comes from the Office of National Statistics. In addition, more recent figures from the National Office for Statistics reveal that at the end of 2012, there were just over 6,000 more full-time stay-at-home dads, or house husbands, looking after babies and toddlers than there were 10 years ago. Yet in the same period, around 44,000 women have stopped being stay-at-home mothers. What is the relationship between power in the family and housework? Why is housework and childcare still seen as a gender-based issue? The issue for sociologists is explaining why these differences occur. The answer is complex, especially when people consciously record what they spend their time doing each day. The UK 2000 Time Use Survey got respondents to keep a detailed diary of how they spend their time in one day of the week and on one day in the weekend. The survey found there were substantial differences between men and women and different age groups in the amount of time spent on various activities, which can lead to the triple shift, particularly as women are socialized into accepting it as natural and inevitable. Overall, the UK 2000 survey found men spend more time in paid employment than women, an average of 3 hours, 48 minutes a day for all men, compared with just over 2 hours a day for all women. Conversely, men spend less time than women doing housework, household tasks, cooking and washing up, housework and washing and ironing, an average of 2 hours a day compared with 3 hours and 35 minutes for women. The differences between men and women were smaller for those in full-time work, with men spending nearly an hour a day more than women in paid work, including study, and women spending nearly an hour a day more than men on household tasks. Men working full-time had an average of 23 minutes a day more leisure time than women in full-time work. La, 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 la.